Father God, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, as we come at this sacred hour, we just want to say thank you. We want to admire you and adore you and adjure you even now, Lord, that you would come and increase and my flesh decrease, that a word comes to the hearts of the believers, and when it is finished, they will be able to say, did not our hearts burn within as the man of God spoke by the way. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the word, and thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord God, even for using me as a messenger. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. This we ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. The word of God will be found in the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4, Paul declared, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. Everybody say unity. And then it says, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Y'all see that? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I keep you too long if I go to the next parts of these verses. You know where it says there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Then it got a semicolon. Then it say one Lord, one faith. That's two or three sermons right there. One baptism. Then it say one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and then in you all of that. That's point one, two, and three of a whole nother set of sermons. So in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God bless you. Thank you for your kindness. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The grass withered, the flowers thereof fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, in peace and unity. Tell them. In peace and unity. Begin with my brethren and my sisters, Christian friends, well-wishers, saints of God. It behooves us to have a beautiful, blessed, and benevolent attitude when we approach this text. You know, when I went to the convention, I found out a lot of things. Some of those things hurt my heart. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
We know, right? I got a few things I want to talk with you from the Word of God. Number one, why people come here? And then why people leave here? And then why people stay here? Are y'all with me here? Now, Psalms tell us in 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. One thing I've learned, that people choose to be in unity or not. Come on, help me, somebody. You choose to have peace or not. Y'all gonna say amen? The Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The best thing a church can do is have peace and have unity. Come on, say amen, somebody. The best thing a community can do is have peace and unity. Tell your neighbor, I want peace in my hometown. Come on, say it. The best thing a city can do is have peace and unity. Y'all ain't saying amen. I ain't up here preaching by myself, am I? Now, wait a minute now. When I wrote it, I wrote it alone, Glenn. But I came to share it with everybody. I say it. The best thing a city can do is have peace. Y'all ain't saying amen enough. Should have been shouting out your shoes on that. The best thing a state can do is have peace and unity. The best thing a country can do is have peace and unity. And the best thing this world can do is have peace and unity, because it's fighting everywhere. Paul makes it clear in verse 1 that he's a prisoner of the Lord. And while at the National Congress, I was told by God, through many preachers, through many parishioners, and through many people that I didn't even know, that you have a calling on your life, and just talking to you, I can tell that you are a servant of God. Kept asking my children, I say, all these people that's up here, they keep acting, treating me like I'm some kind of celebrity, and I don't know them people from Adam. And my children say, they see God on you, Daddy. They see God on you. I wish I had some help up in here. And let me add a little bit of specificity to that statement. Our instructor, Dr. Wood, said, God called you to pastor, because how else could you put up with us folks? You ain't saying nothing there. He said, everybody have their own ideas, and none of their ideas come from you, pastor. He said, brother pastors, and then he said, and sister pastors now, you can't get out of the calling that you're in, even if you try. Do I have a witness here? Y'all gonna walk the text with me? Look at verse 1. I like to stay in the text, is that all right? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Not only are you a demios, a bond slave, a captive, a prisoner of the Lord, and Demios is prisoner of the Lord, because you were bought with a price, and Jesus' precious blood paid for it all. Y'all gonna help me in here? But also, preacher, there are specific directives that you must follow that's up in this text. Can I bring them out? Number one, preacher, you got to walk right. Ain't none of y'all coming up for me. You can say amen. I'm going to say amen now. Ain't nobody covering up for me. Say amen. Amen. Preacher, you got to walk right. My members ought to be able to see me walk a life that I live for Jesus. And I don't mind serving God, and I don't mind serving them. Can I share this with you? It's bad when a pastor is not truly born again. Can I have some witnesses up in here? My members ought to be able to see me buy cranberry juice and not strawberry wine. Y'all gonna help me up in there, huh? And you know what was bad? You know what was bad that really hurt my heart? Preacher that I knew, I ain't calling no names. When he walked up, I could smell the brewery. At the convention, y'all ain't saying amen. And then I said to myself, if you're gonna drink, drink at your house. Don't come out there where all them people can smell you. Because they get the wrong impression that all preachers like that. Come on, help me, somebody. I ain't saying they can't do nothing. I'm just saying, if you're going to do it at your house. My members ought to be able to see me walk into a hospital room when they are sick. Now I got something to add with that, if they call me. One of my members told me, and the instructor said it too, if they don't call you, don't you go, because they don't want you there. Y'all ain't saying amen. My members ought to be able to see me love my wife and not chase every pair of pretty legs that's walking in the church. Come on, say amen, somebody. Saw some of them up there look like hound dogs. That ain't right. Come on, help me, somebody. My members ought to be able to see me hunger and thirst and desire for the preached word, even when I'm tired like I am now, and know that I've spent ample time preparing solid messages. That even if you look it up in the dictionaries and the commentaries, you'll find that I'm right. Come on, help me, somebody. The Bible says, not Raymond Allen, but the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman who needed not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the, you got to spend time in the word. Y'all ain't saying amen. Y'all looking at me like I gave y'all a bitter pill or something. You got to study. You can't get good just by osmosis. You got to really prepare. Somebody say, oh, the Lord gonna bring it back to you. He can't bring nothing back to your members that ain't up in there. Come on, help me, somebody. You gotta at least put it in. If you put it in, he'll bring it out at the right time when you need it. Y'all gonna help me up in here? It's always a word from the Lord. Can I share this with you? My people ought to be able to see me live right. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want God to see you transformed. Amen?
Amen.
You want God to know that he can call on you because you walk right. Amen? You want God to see you walking good, acceptable, and perfect, even in your imperfection. I got that right there. Preach, boy, right there. Because that's your reasonable service. That's the least you can do. Do I have a witness? The next directive that Paul gives is found in verse 2. Y'all see it? It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in what, y'all?
Love.
And we taught you the other week, bygone, about two Sundays ago, that love in the Greek vernacular is? It's a copy. We taught you the other week, about two Sundays ago, that love in the Greek vernacular is?
Agape.
The word is agape. We taught you about two Sundays ago that the Greek word for love is?
Agape.
Amen. Come on, I need interaction. I need interaction. Don't let it be said that they think you too high and too mighty to come down so God can use you. Let me just say this. I'm a servant. In the Greek vernacular, I'm a doulos. I'm a servant. It's hard to be lowly when you expect everything on a silver platter just for you. Come on, help me, somebody. I wish to God that even while he's elevating me, that I do not become ridiculous. What you mean, preacher? Well, they talked about it at the convention. They said, the instructor said, we have gifted preachers and pastors who can come do a special work at our regular size churches and will tell us these following things before they come. Number one, you have to send me no less than $5,000 before I come. In advance. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Number two, you have to buy me a first class plane ticket coming and going. Come on, say amen. I'm going to tell you how it really is. Number three, you have to book my 4 or 5 star hotel or I'm not coming. If I change my mind, the $5,000 deposit is non-refundable. Number five, when I get there, I need this and I need that in my hotel, just like I have it on the list. Y'all ain't saying amen. I said to myself, you'll never come to Shiloh. Even if y'all tried to approve it, I'd never let him come. Come on, help me, somebody. Come on, say amen, somebody. Now, that's a little bit ridiculous to me. I want high-quality preachers. Don't get me wrong. But that seemed to me a little, that's not lowly. You know, because it said the first word was all lowliness, right? That seemed to me to be cocky. Now, that's real cocky. That seemed to me really arrogant. And that seemed to me overly flamboyant. Y'all ain't saying amen.
Amen.
I ain't never received $5,000 for preaching the way I've been. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying it can't happen, but I ain't never seen it like that. I ain't never seen them book me no 4 or 5 star hotel. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
I ain't never seen that I had fruit and vegetables and all this and vegetable trays and all this and that laid out up in my hotel and noni juice and all that kind of stuff. When I get there, I ain't never seen none of that.
Amen.
So to me that sounds disheartening. Because if I'm going to do a work, I'm going to do a work. Do I have a witness here? And I won't allow you to treat no other preacher better than you treat me. Come on, say amen, somebody. Because you honor the gift that God gave you up in here. Come on, say amen, somebody. The next directive that Paul gives the preacher and to the parishioners is have meekness. Can I say this? Meekness does not mean weakness. Tell your neighbor, meek ain't weak. I know it's not meek isn't weak. Tell them again, meek ain't weak. Meek ain't weak. Meek ain't weak. It simply means, meek means gentleness. And can I confess that when I came here, I was meek and y'all just ran all over me like a Mack truck. Say amen. Yes, you did. And it made me get mad. And then it made me have tough skin and a hard forehead. I'm confessing now. I'm confessing now. But when I was at the convention, God spoke to me again. And he said, I know how you are. They know how you are too now. But all I want you to do now is tone it down. I said, okay, Lord. He said, no, I mean it. I want you to tone it down. Talk to a prominent pastor from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I told him that the hardest thing for me now, that I'm a retired school teacher, it's not quality sermon or sermon delivery, not solid teaching, because I can exegete the text. Not excellent preaching, because I can hoop with anybody. But my hardest thing is trying not to offend you. That's my hardest job. Because I know I'm hard. And I'm made that way. Y'all ain't saying amen. See, some of y'all won't be honest with yourselves about your problems. And that's why you can't get no better. But if you be honest, I know I'm hard. And God spoke to me, you don't have to be so hard. You can be gentle and still be a giant. And I've heard it said, I know I'm not a gentle soul, but God is fixing me right now. Tell your neighbor, God fixing, Pastor. And then ask one of them neighbors that you know got a little rough in them. Is he fixing you yet? Is he fixing you? Because I ain't the only one hard up in here. Come on now. I did more crying at the convention this year than any other year. Because I realized I had some flaws. I acknowledge some of my faults. I see some of my fissures. And the question is that since God made me see my ugly self, do you see that you have some things that's not so pretty too? Wait, let me do it like I know how to do it. Y'all gonna help me after a while. All us wasn't always no preacher. Didn't come from my mama preaching out the gate. Some life happened. Do you see too that something's not so pretty in you? You know how I always said, if I'm pointing one finger at you, I got many more pointing back at me. Let a man examine himself. Do y'all see we need to make some changes? God will help us.
Oh, yes, he will.
if we will do some things. Can I share them with you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I wanted to work with your heart today. The instructor said that one of his members told him, "Pastor, you stepping on my toes this morning." He said, "I'm sorry, darling, my aim is off. I was going at your heart." Y'all missed that. I know y'all missed that. I'm aiming at your heart. I ain't aiming at your toes. I'm aiming at your heart. Are y'all with me here? Let me keep on preaching. Stay in the text. Don't go nowhere. With long suffering, everybody have to suffer sometimes. Do you know rich folks suffer too? Did you know white folk, black folk, yellow folk, red folk, everybody suffer? If you're a humanoid, you suffer. Pre-rail. I see you've been up there with all the national big boys. But we shouldn't. Don't miss this. Intentionally make our fellow man suffer.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
And when you learn better,
yes.
Huh? Yes. You do better.
Yes.
You don't intentionally make people suffer.
Amen.
That's not God.
Think
about that too. On the flip script of that, what's going around?
Oh, Lord, yes.
You do somebody dirty, don't worry about it coming back.
Yes.
You might get away with getting at me, but don't worry about it going to get at you.
Yes.
You might do your brother and your sister dirty, but that's all right. Somebody will do you dirty.
Yes.
And God will let them.
Yes.
I'm aiming at your heart. 1 Peter tells us, chapter 4. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Peter counted it a joy to suffer for Christ. You want to know why? Because he had done so badly when he was round that garden and round that fire. Talking about, "I don't know him."
Yeah.
Wait, the little girl said, "You look like him." "No, I don't know him." And then the last thing, and then Peter said, "So and so and so and so, I don't know him." The Bible said he cussed. So now, after the conversion, now Peter says, "I count it joy to suffer for the cause of Christ." Are y'all with me here? Read and study your Bibles. All that stuff will come out to you. Suffer in the Greek vernacular is pathema. Pathema. It's spelled P-A-T-H-E-M-A. Pathema. And it means something undergone. A hardship or a pain that's subject to an emotion or an influence. It's an affliction. It's an affection. It's a motion of suffering in the superlative. And then, to do it long, to suffer long, means to endure. Tell your neighbor, "You got to endure." Come on, tell them, "You got to stick it out." We have to put up with one another. We are family. Tell them, "We got to put up with one another. Because we family." Y'all get that part right there? Paul said he was a prisoner. In other words, he couldn't get out of it. Even when he wanted to get out, he couldn't get out of it. And he says, "We are family." The The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 2 after the second comma is forbearing one another in love. We are family, and a family that prays together. Listen to me. A pastor don't stay to a church this long and not be your family. Because after the first, second, or third year, if it ain't work, he gone. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
But 13 years, we family whether you like it or not.
Amen.
Come on, say amen, somebody. Can I point it out? I'm going to let you alone because I'm just on point one. I'm watching your children grow up in you.
Yes.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
I've seen some of your children grow up, move away, and get good jobs.
Yes.
Come on, say amen. I've been here that long.
Amen.
I buried your loved ones and cried right with you.
Yes.
Say amen. Married your children.
Yes,
baptized your sons and your daughters.
Yes.
I've christened all your babies and held all of them and kissed them and cried right with you when we christened them.
Yes.
Prayed over them. Come on, say amen, somebody.
Yes.
I blessed your homes when you called me, and then I ate good food right with you, didn't leave.
Yes.
Tell you fed me good.
Yes.
Come on, say amen, somebody. Prayed over your retirement parties. Come on, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
And I'm waiting on my retirement dinner, too. I'm retired, too. Mine ain't been right. The doctor ain't released me yet. That's quick when you fast. Still want mine. I want mine, Kenny. I want my retirement party, too. Yeah, Annabelle. I'm Glenn, I want all y'all there. Just like when y'all call me, I'll be there. For everything, when you call me, I'm there.
Amen.
Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
I've been to the hospital.
Yes, sir.
On side your bed for your surgeries.
Yes.
Even when I'm hurting, I'm right there with you. Come on, say amen, somebody. Prayed over you when you was in ICU and didn't know if you was living or dead. Come on, say amen, somebody.
Amen.
And kept on coming every day till you came out of it. Help me, somebody. I forbear you in love. Some of those times have been difficult times in my own life. But he said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, if that's what you called to do.
Yes.
Are you called to be in this thing?
Yes.
Make sure you're called.
Because
yes.
My life is not my own. It belongs to the Lord. He called me to be the pastor here.
Amen.
Are y'all with me here?
Amen.
So now go with me. I'm at the verse that I wanted to be at.
Amen.
Right. Verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. United we stand. Amen. Y'all got that, huh? Endeavoring to keep the unity. Endeavoring. You have to try to stick together. Endeavoring. Endeavoring. Spudazzo. Everybody say spudazzo. I know it sounds like an Italian word, but it's not. In the Greek vernacular, endeavoring. Spudazzo. You got to try to stay together. And you don't just stay together with nobody just because you say, I'm going to stay there. You got to try to stay together.
Amen.
Those of y'all who married up here, y'all know you got to work at that.
All right.
Y'all ain't saying amen. Want to know how I made it that long? I tried to stay with that woman. Y'all ain't helping me here. Aspudazzo, endeavoring. Tell your neighbor, we have to have aspudazzo. You got to try to stay together in unity. Aspudazzo. This clique against that clique. And after all, you got to understand that we're all family. But you got a clique over here and a church clique over there. After a while, all the church is doing is clicking and clacking. I wish I had some help up in here. You know, I told you the story. I told you the story last week about the 10-year-old boy who put the puzzle together. I'm almost through. And it was a masterpiece. It was only a masterpiece because he followed his father's blueprint. Y'all got that? He followed his father's blueprint. We too must follow our father's blueprint in the Logos, in the written word of God, in the Holy Bible. Follow him, and it'll be all right. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Get this now. Get this now. He said, we must endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit.
All right.
God's primary directive that I got from the convention classes was this. Everybody have to be on the same page.
Amen.
Tell you never everybody.
Everybody.
Watch this here. Watch this here. I want everybody to say it with me when I start doing it, right? Y'all gonna do it with me?
Yeah.
I want all y'all to do it.
Amen.
The mission of the Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church is to surrender our lives totally to Christ by showing unconditional love to one another, seeking God's will through his word, by serving the needs of our fellow man, and spreading the gospel throughout the world according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit until the Lord himself shall come again. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Now that right there, tell me that you got sense enough to try to be together. Come on, say amen, somebody. Now you just got to make sure you do it. Now you just got to make sure you do it. The pulpit ministry has got to be on the same page. I hear y'all say amen. Y'all should have said amen. The diaconate ministry. Diaconate ministry has got to be on the same page. Do I have a witness here? The trustee ministry has got to be on the same page. The music ministry has got to be on the same page. The usher ministry has got to be on the same page. The youth ministry has got to be on the same page. Listen, the pew ministry has got to be on the same page. The mission ministry has got to be on the same page. Preach, boy. Make it plain, real. Make it plain, real. And I'm going to my seat. Unity of the Spirit. Y'all can see I've been with the Lord all week. Can't you see I've been with the Lord? Y'all ought to be able to see I've been with the Lord. Unity of the Spirit. I can't be talking something different from what you're doing. Listen. I give you Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But you got in your mind Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Although both Psalms are good. Both Psalms are powerful. Both Psalms are useful. Both Psalms are efficient. But God is not the author of confusion. Everything got to be decent and in order. And there ain't but one pastor in here. And that's me. And if that ain't me, I want y'all to stand up and say, you're the pastor right now. Because it's a two-headed animal is a freak of nature. It can't be but one head, baby. That's all. Are y'all with me here? Well, God gave me primary directives. I got a lot of them to share with you. But as the pastor, ecclesian, overseer, under-shepherd, chief theologian, God said to me, and this is what Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. Number one. Paul is pleading with the church for unity.
All right.
Now I'm gonna take Paul's name out of there. Remember, is pleading with Shiloh for unity. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
The other one is pleading for togetherness. The other one is pleading for the church to be on one accord.
Amen.
Pleading for unity. Amen?
Amen.
And peace.
Amen.
There's enough confusion in the world.
Amen.
They don't need it here.
Amen.
This is the place of God. It's the house of God. This is the place you get blessed. Amen?
Amen.
So now,